It's a privilege that we have to be able to gather this way with fellow believers and to be encouraged. One thing I picked up on this morning is similar to what I'm going to talk about, that you all are aware that you're in this life, you're in a race. You may not have thought of that in that way, but that's what I've titled this today, Life Compared to a Race. And a lot of the things you shared, or all the things we've shared and talked about, have to do with our life and how that we're running this race and how we can run it and how we can't run it, or maybe shouldn't run it as well, for the consequences that come with that. But again, as I think of life and the things that we are called and are things that are chosen for us, I guess, to face and to deal with, and many of them are not that easy, but it depends on where we look for our source of help and strength and so on. And so I've chosen to, for the text to be Hebrews chapter 12, the first three verses I'll read, and then we'll see where God takes us. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. Several things that stand out in these few short verses. Number one, he's carrying on from chapter 11. And we're very familiar with that as well. What we call the heroes of faith, or the faith chapter. They ended up as well, and what was accredited to them was the way they chose to respond to the call that God had on their lives, and most of those ended well, although they did not get to see the promise totally in full as we see it today that God had given them or told them about. So one of the words that really, I guess, drew me to this was, let us run with patience. The King James says patience. I think the NIV uses the word perseverance. And that's very similar, is simply to continue in spite of difficulty or opposition. Another word that I actually thought the NIV used was endurance, but it didn't. And I'm not sure if there's another translation that may use that. I didn't check. But it's a word, again, that is very similar. And it's simply the ability to last. And so as we go through this life and as we compare it to a race, these are things that you need to. If you're going to be successful or even come close to winning, if not winning, you're going to have to persevere. You're going to have to endure, and you're going to have to keep. And so I know there are some of you that like to race, like to run. You run in races and so on. And I can say I used to. I'm not good at it anymore. I wouldn't do well at all. But in order to run in a race, I remember those things. And as I think back, and I observed some of that in you students in doing your field day and your running, I noticed how some of you started out fast, and you gave it almost all you had to start with. There were others that reserved some of that till later. And maybe we'll talk about that a little bit later. Excuse me. If running and racing has been something you have followed in your lifetime, there may be some names that you would recall that would come to mind. I looked up a few. Some I remembered and some I didn't. One was a Glenn Cunningham. Now, this would have been before any born and his racing career. He was born in 1909. He was a great runner, but he was well known for his sprints that he did. And he won many medals, and there's a lot more history I wish I could have got into his biography to read, but I couldn't get into it. I didn't have time. But I did find out that at 8 years old, he went through a schoolhouse fire where he was burned. And it was bad enough the doctors said that he would probably never walk again. But he went on to, and that's the part I would like to know, how he reacted to that. Obviously, he did well because he became a world-renowned athlete in running and in sprinting. Another one was Carl Lewis. That was more in our time, and probably most of you that are older, at least, that will ring a bell. He was born in 61 in Birmingham, Alabama, an African-American. And so probably coming from at that era of time, coming from a background that was a little difficult to get into the society and into being accepted in different things. But he went on to win many Olympic gold medals and other prizes. I want to say I read 9, but I wasn't sure on that. But anyway, he did well. And so these are only a couple examples of people that accomplished something in a physical foot race. They did well. Hebrews 11, if we go back into that, we can look at those that they were not in a foot race as such, but in their lifetime of compared to a race. I'd like to think of Abraham, that God called one day and said, I want you to leave. Now, I'm assuming Abraham was pretty content where he was, and probably, I don't know his wealth. I didn't reread the story as such, but he was probably well settled. He's okay to stay where he's at. Life goes on and so on. But one day God called him and said, I want you to leave. And I'm going to send you somewhere and you're going to go. And it's a land, it's a great land, and I'm going to give it to you and to your descendants. And you're going to have more descendants than you can even count. And at this point, he didn't even have a son. He didn't have any children. And he was pretty old. And so, I don't know what he thought, but I know what he did. In this call, in his race, in his life, he went. He left where he was, and he went. And so, we read of Abraham as being faithful because of his obedience. And he did well. And there's others, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. We know the story of Joseph, another person, a hero of faith that went through tremendous trials and trouble innocently, and yet he finished his race well because he was faithful and obedient to God, and he trusted God. And so you and I as well, I'm going to give you 6 things that will help us and encourage us in our race of life that we are in. Some of you are just, well, there are some here that are just starting their race. There are others that have been well into their race. Then there are others that are approaching the finish line, we might say, some of us. But none of us have finished the race yet. So our story isn't written. It's still being written. So how you do today, how you've done in the past, maybe you can forget that, because maybe we didn't do so well. There are things that we need to forget and leave behind. But we have today to start anew if we need to, and build on to finish, because we're going to determine to finish this race, and we're going to race, finish it well, with God's help. So number one, it talks about here in our text, laying aside every weight for the race. Excuse me. I'm going to read through these, and then we'll come back and talk about them. Number two is striving for the prize. Number three is hindrances to the runner. Number four is pressing toward the goal. Number five is the home stretch. Number six, the prize won. There's a story I read of a man that was out in a mountain, and he was cutting brush, cleaning up a hillside. There was a canyon not far away. There was a rushing stream next to him, lots of trees around, a very nice setting. And as he worked, lunchtime came, he sat down to eat his lunch. And as usual happens, this bee came around and trying to disturb him. And it disturbed him enough that finally he decided to swat the bee, and he knocked it to the ground and stepped on it. Thought, okay, now we're good. The bee's gone. I can eat my lunch in peace. Only in a little bit, that bee came back again, and this time with more vengeance, and kept bothering him. So he swatted again, and this time he stood on it with his 210 pounds and crushed it into the sand and said, now I'm done with this bee. It's over. Only as he resumed his lunch, he noticed out of the corner of his eye some movement in the sand. And so he looked and watched, and here was this bee struggling to come back. It didn't give up. He noticed its right wing was pretty intact, pretty good shape, but its left wing was very crumpled and very sadly torn and disabled. So he said, that bee will never fly again. But he watched it, because it kept struggling. It took its legs and it kept brushing its left wing, trying to straighten it out, trying to strengthen it. It would flap it if it could. And its right wing would really buzz, but it couldn't go anywhere. But it kept on, and he kept watching, and he was fascinated. This bee that he thought he surely had killed was not dead. You can sort of imagine. It said sand, so we understand that. It's hard to kill something in the sand because it's too soft underneath. Anyway, that bee kept, after a while, it started moving, and it tried to fly, and it didn't get very far. But it'd go 2 or 3 inches and fall to the ground again. But it kept on and kept on until finally, all of a sudden, it took off. It flew away and disappeared. And so he was very fascinated with that. And I guess the gist of the story is, don't give up. Don't underestimate what you can do with God's help. So laying aside every weight for the race. You know, there's a lot of things that come into our lives, and there's a lot of things that can distract us and weigh us down so that we can't run. I'm assuming that if you practice running, you go for the lightest comfortable shoes that you can find, and you take off, you dress lightly as well. There's a lady local. If you travel from New Holland Road toward Fairview, you'll see this lady every day. Now, I don't go every day, but I go quite often. And I was trying to think back, and I think it's been close to 30 years that I've seen her doing this, running from probably a mile from Fairview out to Fairview and back. And I've seen her different times of the day. And I'm like, lady, I don't know what you're proving, but there's one thing about it. She is persistent. And she was out there this week, but she was walking more than running. But anyway, so I just thought of, you know, the persistence that needs to take place in our lives, in our race of life as well. So you don't load yourself up with weight, generally, if you want to run. You go as light as you can. So you put off, and that's what he's telling us, put off the things that you are going to weigh you down. So what are some things that are weights that we have that we can put off? One thing I thought of is sometimes we overextend ourselves. We overcommit to things we say we'll do. And, you know, we're human and we can only do so much. And yet I can say, well, I can still do that. Yeah, no problem. And so pretty soon I'm like, oh, wow, I'm worn out. I can't do it. That can be a weight. Another thing, and he talks about here, he talks about laying aside every weight and sin. Probably one of the biggest, or one big thing that hinders us more than anything else is if we have unconfessed sin in our lives. That will weight you down. That will, you will drag that with you and you will not prosper. The Bible tells us about that. In Proverbs 28:13, it says, he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. And so that's a great thing to remember and to do. Number two, striving for the prize. 1 Corinthians 9:24. I'm going to turn to a number of scriptures if I have time. First Corinthians 9:24-27. Know you not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that at any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Again, Paul many times refers life to a race as well. And I understand in the Roman world, the races were in different athletic events were a big thing in their history. And so he's simply saying, discipline yourself. If you want to strive to get to the prize to win, discipline yourself. There are so many things that come into our lives that we are confronted with. And a lot of times, it's probably getting worse as the electronic world expands and so on. And the things we have, I just have a phone now that can do things better than it used to. And I'm amazed how often I get that silly thing out and I open it up and I have to look because it beeps. And I have to see what it says or who's sending a message or whatever. And I'm like, boy, it takes a lot of time. And so if I don't respond to your message right away, it's because I don't have time. I don't want to mess with it. It can wait. You know, it used to. Things used to wait. When I was trucking years ago, I didn't have a phone. It was a If somebody needed me, it was when I stopped and there was a payphone, I made a phone call. Later, I got a pager. That was helpful, but then I still had to look for a payphone. And then I got a bag phone, a big old clumsy thing, and I was really with the time. Well, then, guess what? Where we are today. So there takes discipline. All these things are good, but it takes discipline. So if you're going to run the race and win the prize, you have to discipline. You know that. You have to watch what you eat, what you drink, and you have to prepare. Make time for the important things. That's what Paul's saying. He said, you know what? I'm not just out here beating and making a lot of noise, but he said, I am controlling myself. I have a purpose and a plan. Number three, some of the hindrances to the runner in Galatians 5:7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? And then also in Philippians 2. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Again, it's just simply telling us some of the hindrances that can come our way in distracting us. But he's telling us some of the disciplines that we need so that we can not be hindered by the hindrances that come in our lives. Murmurings, disputings. He doesn't mention thankfulness, but I think it all would sum it up, to be thankful and to be confident. Some of the hindrances could be we are overconfident. I can do this. And then you get out there and you find out, oh, maybe I should have practiced a little more. Maybe I should have done something different. Compromising your reputation, your morals, your ideals. That is a hindrance in our Christian life as well, in our race. Discouragement is another big thing, and we all face those times, and I don't care how strong you are or how big you are. There will be times in your life that you will face discouragement because things just don't always pan out the way we would like them to. Number four is pressing toward the goal, Philippians 3:13 and 14. Well, I think it's in my Bible here somewhere. There it is. Philippians 3:13 and 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. As I said earlier, some things we need to just forget in the past and leave it and move on. And that's what Paul did. Paul had a past that wasn't very nice, but he didn't let that depress him and put him down to where he wasn't useful in the kingdom of God in encouraging other people. Never give up, never give in. I think there's a song that goes with that, but I don't remember what it is. Charles Spurgeon said, remember, you are only accountable for your labor and not for your success. So still toil on. I need to move along here. Number five is a home stretch. You know, as you're running along and as we get older, we realize that, we're not quite as strong and capable as we used to be physically. And so Paul talks about that in 2 Timothy 4, 6 and 7, some good verses. They're all good verses, but some apply a little better than others. 2 Timothy 4, 6 and 7. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. He's approaching the end of his race. And as he thinks about that and approaches a finish line, his destination is ahead. Last Sunday, Harley talked about heaven. And so in this race, our ultimate goal, the finish line, is to cross into heaven. That is our prize, our reward. I think that's what Paul is talking about, that he is nearing. He's realizing his life is about over. His work for God is about finished. And then he will receive that crown that Jesus Christ has for him. Winston Churchill said, success is never final, failure is never fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. Again, going back to our word, persevere. Don't give up. Keep on. Number six, the final one, the prize won, 2 Timothy 4, 8, where we were just a minute ago. 2 Timothy 4, 8. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. You know, as he said earlier, those that run in the race, a physical foot race, there's one, usually one winner. One person will get the prize. But for you and I, it's all of us are going to get a prize. If we're faithful and we run this race successful, you will get a prize. It doesn't matter if you come in fifth or 10th or first. You're going to get a prize because God is faithful. He promised that. And so the prize is almost here. For some of us, maybe sooner than later, we're about to cross the finish line. It's a crowning touch. The race is almost over. That's what Paul is saying. But he has confidence. And it's that confidence that's going to carry him on to cross that line. In chapter 11, the heroes of faith, they ran their race. Their race is over. We read about it. You and I, well, we're not going to read about it yet. We know a little bit what's happened in our life, but we haven't wrote the last story. But we can't quit until we finish that line. I know there are times in your life that you feel like giving up. There are times that I have felt like, what's the use? Just forget it. Go fishing. Do something that might seem productive. But you know what? If you fish, you probably find out you might come home empty as well. So that's not always a good answer either. But it's never good or right to give up. Don't entertain those thoughts. The Christian life is pictured as a long-distance race rather than a short sprint. You know, if life was just a short time, and really it is, and I'm thinking back the heroes that it mentioned in chapter 11 up to Noah, those were before the flood, when they lived to be almost 1,000 years old, some of them. And that was a long race. But since then, it's decreased. Although in our time, it has starting to increase again. People are living longer. So you have to train harder, I guess, so that you can be strong and finish well. So my encouragement to you today is this. Don't give up. Don't give in. Determine to finish well. with God's help, we can all be successful and we can win and receive that prize that Jesus Christ, the righteous judge, has laid up and has prepared. You know, he probably has a trophy room full of crowns and you're named on it. When you get there, you'll be presented that crown. God bless you. You can all stand when you find 957 in the Faith and Praise. And Calvin will lead us in that. Father in heaven, thank you again for your word that you have given us to read, to study, for your Holy Spirit's leadership, guidance, and empowering to be able to go through life and to know that at the end we can win this race with your help, because we have observed and there have been many examples of those that have gone before us. And so we are depending on you and we're trusting you for your help and for your grace to carry on. So bless each person here today. May you bless their lives, guide them, encourage them to walk in your ways and to be faithful in that what you have called them to do. So thank you again for preparing the way, going before us and leading us as well. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.